explained to you, and the church carrying our salvation struggles. It is persecuted. Shortly we'll see the devil standing across from her to grab her newly born infant, the child of her birth. What will he do? You know exactly what the Apostle Peter says. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. Who is he seeking to devour? Thus many times we tell our young teenagers, my child, be careful. Try to protect yourself from the life of the world. Be careful of the worldly and secular lifestyle. Behind these cool things of the world is the devil. He's setting traps for you. Can't you see it? Of course, we don't see them. But we must believe, and this is why faith is a great matter. What do you think, that faith refers only to God? Faith is also to believe how things are, to see the reality of things. And if you believe the everyday reality of things, only then you'll be saved. But let's continue. Chapter 12, verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Here we have a dreadful vision. An enormous red snake, a red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 wreaths or diadems or crowns upon its 7 heads, and he lifted his enormous tail in the sky and swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and cast them upon the earth. A truly dreadful sight. Now, how would we feel if we would be eyewitnesses of such a vision? When St. John says, another sign appeared in heaven, he wishes to draw our attention to another form, another manifold, but of the same visual image. The scene, the stage, does not change. Here he sees the woman, and next to her he sees the dragon. The stage is the same one, and at the same time he has both of these visions in front of him. The woman, the great sign on the one side, and on the other side, the sign of the dragon. As I told you before, the word sign has many meanings. Here I will tell you again, sign refers to a very special event, a milestone, a mark, something that consists of an identifying characteristic of one thing or an event. We use this in our common language. Sometimes we observe something and we say, this must be a sign. This is a sign. Here, a sign is the devil because he's the dragon, as we will see in the near future as we continue. And this is a sign because it consists of the other view of the mystery of the woman. The woman is a mystery, and the dragon presents a mystery because he consists of the other side of the mystery of the woman, in other words, the church. For this reason, he is also called a sign. So who is he? The mystery of lawlessness, St. Paul tells us, because the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And he means exactly what the evangelist John expresses here with the word sign. The word sign is used for the church, and also it is used for the devil. So here we have the mystery of holiness, which is the church, the sign of holiness. And then we have the sign of lawlessness, the devil. The church is a mystery, and lawlessness is a mystery. Again, I must remind you that here in this verse, the word heaven does not refer to the throne of God, but to the firmament, to the sky. This is the same image. John sees all this in the sky. He sees the dragon in this panoramic view. And in this panoramic scene or stage, A great battle will be carried out, a battle above and beyond all battles given in history. The battles of the Greeks against the Persians and other battles may have been called cosmohistorical events, but these are not cosmohistorical events. They are relative. The cosmohistorical event, which includes the entire creation and not simply the human history, the cosmohistorical event is the battle which will take place with the child which will be born from this woman versus the dragon. Let's begin to interpret. And behold, a great, an enormous red dragon, a snake, the devil, as we said. The devil, as a snake, deceived the first created humans. The evangelist John will explain a bit farther in verse 9 of this same chapter. And the dragon, the great ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, who deceives the entire world. St. John here provides us with a most detailed description. He utilizes all the names of Satan, so we don't think that the devil is something different than Satan. Satan means an opposer, the one who stands against. It is a Hebraic word, one who stands against, an anti-God, as we say, antichrist, one who opposes Christ. Dragon, snake, ancient serpent, Satan, and a deceiver. With all of this, the evangelist John wants to give the understanding of two things: the identity of the devil and his destructive work. Who is he, and what is his activity or his work? The one who deceives the entire world. This certainly describes his work. He appears as a red dragon, and the color red, according to St. Andrew, expresses his murderous intentions and his bloodthirstiness. He rejoices in bloodshedding. He loves for people to be killed. And as the Lord himself said, he's a murderer from the beginning. The devil is a man killer from the very beginning and will always be as such. From when? From the very beginning of the human race. What did he do to our first created foreparents? He introduced sin and death enter as a consequence. So the devil is a man killer, and that's why he appears red, having seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads, my friends, symbolize the great number of his servants, and the 10 horns the magnitude of his power. In other words, the devil is the prince of this world. And according to St. Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians, he wants to remind them that you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. When the devil tempted the Lord in the desert, he told him initially and for a moment of time, he lifted him on a mountain, and there the devil used his abilities to present a visual and panoramic view. And he can do these things due to his angelic origin and by God's condescension. He accepted to be tempted by the devil. But as we said here, the great trap for the devil was being set. God wanted it this way. He deceived a human being. He would now be deceived by a human being. He defeated a man. He would now taste defeat by a man. He would get a taste of his own medicine. This is why Christ is the new Adam. So now the devil comes and presents a panoramic view of all the kingdoms of the earth. Now watch. What did he say about these kingdoms? I will give authority over all of them and their glory. In other words, all the kingdoms of the world, because they were placed under my authority. And I can give away this authority as I choose. So the devil begins to surmise that Christ is a person of great importance, important person. And he tells him, I will give you authority to govern the entire earth if you fall down and worship me. This is what the Antichrist will do, my friends. He will fall down and worship Satan, and he will give him authority over all the nations, over all peoples, tribes, and tongues. What did the Lord say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. This is written, you will only fall down and worship the Lord your God alone. However, did you notice that the devil says that he has authority over all kingdoms? This was also mentioned in today's scripture reading. Well, what are we saying here? That the devil governs the world? No, my friends, God governs the world. But God allows the world to be governed by the devil as the prince of this world, as the prince of this age. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem says, what kingdoms belong to the devil? What kingdoms? He is penniless. He does not own a dime. No, a dime has 10 pennies. The devil does not own a single penny. And yet he claims that he has these kingdoms and he can give away as he pleases. He has them in the sense that this was permitted by God. Do you hear what he said? For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I please, delivered by God. This can only take place by God's permission. Sure, since the people of the nations do not want to be governed by God, but prefer the governance of the devil. Do you see how apocalyptic this information happens to be? My friends, do you find yourself outside of God's commandments? The devil governs you. And not only you, but your home and your country and the entire planet. But here we have seven heads. As we mentioned before, seven is a symbolic number which shows great quantity. This is representative of the great number of those in Satan's service. How is this? Well, take a look and try to bring to mind how many organizations, visible and invisible, obvious and hidden, exist and make up the power of Satan, the ten horns which refer to his great power. Freemasonry, Zionism, the multitude of heresies and occults, atheism, materialism, humanism, you'll find it all. And all these consist of the many heads and the many horns of the devil. Consequently, with all these secret societies and organizations, he exerts a great deal of pressure and uses this power where? Against the church. He uses great force against the church. But upon these heads of the beast, we also read about seven crowns. What is the meaning behind these crowns? The diadem, or the crown, is the symbol of the coronation, or the praise of the qualities of the head on which it sits. It means that the head is worthy, but it is also the symbol of authority. And being that he's the prince of this world, he has authority. But in addition to this, today what receives praise and adulation and overall acceptance is the evil and the shameful. Today's world crowns evil behavior because the entire world has succumbed to the feet of the evil one. The entire world finds itself in the life of the evil one. This is why the devil is presented with seven heads and ten horns. And the earth retracts lasti, disapi rogamu impis icondi egra. Oh, yeah.
Gabriel, if he let him to Amaton, to set on before the present
sign. The word sign is used for the church, and also it is used for the devil. So here we have the mystery of holiness, which is the church, the sign of holiness, and then we have the sign of lawlessness, the devil. The church is a mystery, and lawlessness is a mystery. Again, I must remind you that here in this verse, the word heaven does not refer to the throne of God, but to the firmament, to the sky. This is the same image. John sees all this in the sky. He sees the dragon in this panoramic view. And in this panoramic scene or stage, a great battle will be carried out, a battle above and beyond all battles given in history. The battles of the Greeks against the Persians and other battles may have been called cosmohistorical events, but these are not cosmohistorical events. They are relative. The cosmohistorical event, which includes the entire creation and not simply the human history, the cosmohistorical event is the battle which will take place with the child which will be born from this woman versus the dragon. Let's begin to interpret. And behold, a great and enormous red dragon, a snake. The devil, as we said, the devil as a snake deceived the first created humans. The evangelist John will explain a bit farther in verse 9 of this same chapter. And the dragon, the great ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, who deceives the entire world. St. John here provides us with a most detailed description. He utilizes all the names of Satan, so we don't think that the devil is something different than Satan. Satan means an opposer, the one who stands against. It is a Hebraic word. One who stands against, an anti-God, as we say, anti-Christ, one who opposes Christ. Dragon, snake, ancient serpent, Satan, and a deceiver. With all of this, the evangelist John wants to give the understanding of two things: the identity of the devil and his destructive work. Who is he, and what is his activity or his work? The one who deceives the entire world. This certainly describes his work. He appears as a red dragon, and the color red, according to St. Andrew, expresses his murderous intentions and his bloodthirstiness. He rejoices in bloodshedding. He loves for people to be killed. And as the Lord himself said, he's a murderer from the beginning. The devil is a man-killer from the very beginning and will always be as such. From when? From the very beginning of the human race. What did he do to our first created foreparents? He introduced sin and death enter as a consequence. So the devil is a man-killer, and that's why he appears red, having seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads, my friends, symbolize the great number of his servants, and the 10 horns the magnitude of his power. In other words, the devil is the prince of this world. And according to St. Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians, he wants to remind them that you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. When the devil tempted the Lord in the desert, he told him initially and for a moment of time, he lifted him on a mountain, and there the devil used his abilities to present a visual and panoramic view, and he can do these things due to his angelic origin and by God's condescension. He accepted to be tempted by the devil, but as we said here, the great trap for the devil was being set. God wanted it this way. He deceived a human being, he would now be deceived by a human being. He defeated a man, he would now taste defeat by a man. He would get a taste of his own medicine. This is why Christ is the new Adam. So now the devil comes and presents a panoramic view of all the kingdoms of the earth. Now watch. What did he say about these kingdoms? I will give authority over all of them and their glory. In other words, all the kingdoms of the world because they were placed under my authority. And I can give away this authority as I choose. So the devil begins to surmise that Christ is a person of great importance, important person. And he tells him, I will give you authority to govern the entire earth if you fall down and worship me. This is what the Antichrist will do, my friends. He will fall down and worship Satan, and he will give him authority over all the nations, over all peoples, tribes, and tongues. What did the Lord say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. This is written, you will only fall down and worship the Lord your God alone. However, did you notice that the devil says that he has authority over all kingdoms? This was also mentioned in today's scriptural reading. Well, what are we saying here? That the devil governs the world? No, my friends, God governs the world. But God allows the world to be governed by the devil as the prince of this world, as the prince of this age. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem says, what kingdoms belong to the devil? What kingdoms? He is penniless. He does not own a dime. No, a dime has 10 pennies. The devil does not own a single penny. And yet he claims that he has these kingdoms and he can give away as he pleases. He has them in the sense that this was permitted by God. Do you hear what he said? For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I please, delivered by God. This can only take place by God's permission. Sure, since the people of the nations do not want to be governed by God, but prefer the governance of the devil. Do you see how apocalyptic this information happens to be? My friends, do you find yourself outside of God's commandments? The devil governs you. And not only you, but your home and your country and the entire planet. But here we have seven heads. As we mentioned before, seven is a symbolic number which shows great quantity. This is representative of the great number of those in Satan's service. How is this? Well, take a look and try to bring to mind how many organizations, visible and invisible, obvious and hidden, exist and make up the power of Satan, the 10 horns which refer to his great power. Freemasonry, Zionism, the multitude of heresies and occults, atheism, materialism, humanism, you'll find it all. And all these consist of the many heads and the many horns of the devil. Consequently, with all these secret societies and organizations, he exerts a great deal of pressure and uses this power where? Against the church. He uses great force against the church. But upon these heads of the beast, we also read about seven crowns. What is the meaning behind these crowns? The diadem, or the crown, is the symbol of the coronation, or the praise of the qualities of the head on which it sits. It means that the head is worthy, but it is also the symbol of authority. And being that he's the prince of this world, he has authority. But in addition to this, today what receives praise and adulation and overall acceptance is the evil and the shameful. Today's world crowns evil behavior because the entire world has succumbed to the feet of the evil one. The entire world finds itself in the life of the evil one. This is why the devil is presented with seven heads and ten horns.
And the earth Oh. Σε τον σάρκο σέντα σωτήρα Χριστόν και τον ουρανό μη χωρισέντα εν φόνες αλμάτων μεγαλύνομεν ότι σταυρών και θα